But if you like to say Darius, that's up to you. Start to read at verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye ran every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine. This is Haggai speaking, but it's God speaking to his people. And he's saying, I, God, call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word as we commit it to him in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank thee again for the reading of thy word, and we pray that you will bless it to our hearts now. We pray that it will have an application for each one of us. Speak to us by thy Holy Spirit, we pray, our God. And we thank thee for all the blessings that we have on a day-by-day basis from thyself. And we thank thee that the damage downstairs was limited, our God and Father. It could have been much worse. And yet, we know we are a blessed people because we are blessed by thyself, our God. And we are blessed because we have the salvation from thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We know that, our God and Father, there are many devastated people in this country today. Many locally, our God. They don't know which way to turn. And we pray that even at this time, that they will be turned towards thy word, towards the things of God, and realize their need of a Saviour. And we know that then all the things that they have need of will be dealt with, our God and Father. And that's not a prosperity gospel. It is the message of thy word, and that they will be blessed, not just for time, but for all eternity. We commit ourselves into thy hands now and ask thy blessing upon each one of us. Our God and Father, we pray that you will give me the words to say, the words that are appropriate to this time, as we ask it now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Be be with you in a second when I find Haggai in my other Bible. Haggai means the festival of Jehovah. The festival of Jehovah. It was written around about 520 BC. That's 2,500 years ago. And the children of Israel had just come back from exile. From exile in Babylon, where they'd spent 70 years in captivity. And they'd recently returned to their homeland. And they concentrated on their houses, on the building of their houses, and on the improvements to their houses, and on providing themselves with luxuries, but at the expense of God's house. And Haggai says, the house of God lies desolate. Some of them have been back for 14 years. Some of them may have been back for more. When they returned from the exile, it was in three stages. But as well as being in three stages, people came back from Babylon in dribs and drabs. Some came back here, some came back there, but there were three main returns from Babylon. So they'd been in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. They'd come back to their homeland, and the house of God lie desolate. I want to look at three things in this chapter tonight. And the first thing is the background of the message of Haggai. Haggai the prophet. The background of the message, and it's found in verses 1 and 2. And then from verses 3 to 11, we see the burden of the message. That he had a burden, and God had given him a burden for the rebuilding of his house. And then from verses 12 to 15, we see the blessing of the message. The blessing that God gave these people because they were obedient to his will. And there's a chorus that has come back to me in the last few days, and I can't remember the end of it. Andrew might remember it, but it's, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Do you know any more of that? There is more to it, but it's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? It's relevant. People sometimes say, the Bible's not relevant. This chapter that we've read and the two chapters of Haggai are more relevant today than they've ever been, and especially to us here in Bethany. And as we look at it, I'm sure God will have a message for each of us from it. But he owns the rivers and the rocks and rills. How relevant could that be to the people who've been flooded? And yet, Charlotte has got these simple messages for the kids, and it's a question: who sent the sunshine? Who sent the rain? And it's God who sent both of them. He sent them for a reason. He sent them to bless us, but he might have sent them for other reasons as well. And yet, the good and the evil are both affected by the sunshine, both affected by the rain. Blessed by the sunshine, and sometimes cursed by the rain. And yet God has blessed us, hasn't he? And we've seen the blessing. We've prayed about the blessing tonight. The blessing that we weren't flooded to 5 foot or 7 foot or 8 foot. I heard of a lady just today, a young lady, 27 years old, with a child. And she lives in Nangaru. That's a very unfortunate place to live at the moment. And two cars completely underwater. And her house just had a new kitchen, and all downstairs flooring, all floating, 5 foot underwater. And it's sad. And we look at the devastation that is caused throughout the country, isn't it? Throughout the country. And, you know, the north of England, in certain places, have had it much worse than we have. And for a longer period as well. We pray that God will see fit to give us some dry weather, and that the rains will cease and that the floods will cease, because he is in control. And yet, in this chapter that we've read, we see that Haggai is speaking to these people, and he's saying, first things first, let's get our houses in order. Let's get our priorities right. And their priority was their own house, their own luxuries. Look in first of all, let's look at the first two verses, and we can see the background of this message. It's in the second year of Darius the king. In the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And those names are so interesting in their meanings. And we see there, Shealtiel. In the New Testament, he's called Salathiel. And you might wonder where you've heard that name before. And his name means asked for from God. Asked for from God. We see Josedech, Jehovah's righteousness. We see Zerubbabel. His name means sown in Babylon. Now we know his name means sown in Babylon, but he was a Jew. So was he born in Babylon perhaps? And in captivity possibly? I don't know. But somebody may know that, but I don't know. Was he born there in captivity in Babylon and had come back to his homeland? And then we have Joshua, and his name means salvation. Salvation of Jehovah. And this book is written to the remnant, especially those who had returned from Babylon in their exile. And the book of Haggai motivates God's people to reorder their priorities, which is what we've said already, which is first things first, get our priorities right, to reorder our priorities, to complete the rebuilding of the temple, and thirdly, to restore proper worship in that temple. And then they could expect blessing from God. If they didn't reorder their priorities, they didn't rebuild the temple, and they didn't restore proper worship, they could expect cursing from God. And Haggai sharply rebukes the Israelites for neglecting to rebuild the temple. And he encourages those then to undertake the work. So the key phrase in this book is building the temple, or build the temple. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. We've seen the key people. And we see that Haggai, in chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, records God's encouragement for his people to be strong and courageous as they rebuild the temple. But first of all, in those first two verses, we see the background of the message. Verse 2 says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." It was on the floor. The temple had been totally destroyed, and it needed a rebuilding. But their priorities were their own selves. And then we see in verse 3 to 11, the burden that Haggai had for the rebuilding of the temple. "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, or through Haggai the prophet, saying." So it was God's word, and it was spoken by Haggai the prophet. He says in verse 4, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house will lie waste?" And we are told that the sealed houses was their houses that they'd panelled very comfortably and finely in cedar. They'd panelled them and made them very luxurious, and yet they had no thought for the things of God and no thought for the house of God. And Haggai is rebuking them. He's rebuking them, and he has a burden for the house of God. And he says, "And this house, the house of God, lies waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And some people sometimes say that we haven't got enough relevantism in the church. The church is not relevant. There's not enough contextualism in the preaching of the word. And yet, how relevant could these words be to us? with the building of the extension and the thoughts we have all had over the last few weeks concerning it. And it's in context, it's completely in context to us today. And God is speaking to us through his word. And he's saying to each one of us, consider your ways. This message has come down 2,500 years from Haggai. And he's speaking to us just as clearly tonight. And he's saying, consider your ways. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That's pretty relevant to many people today, isn't it? You think you've got holes in your pockets. You earn money in the one hand and it goes straight out through the door. And there's none left at the end of the month. These people were no different. But there was a reason for their poverty. There was a reason for their problems. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. He says again, a second time, consider your ways. And we again must consider our ways. And God says through Haggai, go up to the mountain, verse 8. Bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. The hymn that Neil gave out tonight was about glorifying the Lord. That's what we seek to do in this place, is to glorify God. Verse 9 says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, this is God speaking. He says, I did blow on it. I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. This is God speaking through Haggai. And he's saying to the people, you couldn't care less about the rebuilding of the temple. And you spend all you have, and all your effort, and all your time, and all your money on your own houses, making them luxurious, making them somewhere you want to be, and yet you do not want to be in my house. And God blew on everything they did and made it almost worthless. Haven't we got a God like that today who is able to rebuke us? Haven't we got a God like that who is able to bless us? We see sometimes when we haven't got enough time to finish a job, and yet he seems to extend the time. If we pray about something, he gives us the ability and gives us that extra time we need to finish that job by a certain time. But also, in the same vein, we sometimes do a job, we're not careful about praying for it, and all sorts of things seem to go wrong. And time seems to run away with us. We expect it to be at a certain stage, and we never got there. So God is able and capable of blowing on everything, for good or for bad. And that's what he did in this case. And the rebuke was because God's house lie waste, and they run every man unto his own house. And then he goes through three verses there where he says, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. That's God. We don't believe it today, do we? We don't believe that God brings the rain and God brings the sunshine, and every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow caused by turning. But we don't believe it. We rely on our own abilities. We rely on our own hands, on the works of our own hands. And this is what these people were doing. Their houses must have been wonderful. They must have been perfect. And yet God's temple lay waste. And God says in verse 11, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. But look what happens. They get the rebuke and the burden of the message of the prophet of God from verses 3 to 11. And verse 12, something changes. And it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. They were told by the prophet that all the things that had happened to them, the lack of money because it went through their pockets with holes in, their bags with holes in, the lack of produce that was supplied by the land because of the lack of dew that God gave it. And he says, as the Lord their God had sent Haggai, and the people did fear before the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But look at that one word in verse 12. Obeyed. They obeyed the voice of the people. The priest, you've got Zerubbabel first. God stirred up his heart. You've got Joshua, the high priest. All the remnant of the people. So it was everyone was involved. Not just a few. They were all involved. And verse 12, the main word in there is obedience. And they were obedient unto God. And God says obedience is better than sacrifice. And we see the princes, the priests, the prophets, and the people, all in obedience to God. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. So that's verse 13. And there in verse 13, we see the blessing of the message. And the blessing of the message is this: I am with you. And notice in your Bible, it's probably in capital letters, I am. And that I am there is Jehovah God. And he's speaking to the people, and he says, I am with you. And all it required was a little bit of obedience towards God, a turning back to God and repenting for their sins of self-indulgence and looking after themselves at the expense of the temple. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They were totally disinclined to do any work prior to this man Haggai speaking to them the word of God. And the last verse, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. You notice that is just 23 days or 24 days later than the first verse. So they had determined within the space of 24 days. They turned around completely from where they were, not interested in the building of the temple, to starting to build again. And that's where God's blessing came from. His blessing came from the time that they had started. Notice this verse, if I can find it there. Verse 8. He says, this is Haggai speaking, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. That's the word of God. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Go up to the mountain. Where did the mountain come from? God provided the mountain. And bring wood. Where did the wood come from? And we see those words of George Muller in relation to this. God provided everything they needed to build the house. And we look at George Muller and his children's homes. And there's amazing stories about him. And he says this, if we are doing what we do in God's will and in God's time, then God himself will provide the provisions that we need to do it. And at this time, we need to be relying totally on the Lord for everything we do. And we've all got talents in some way or another. And the building of the building outside is not for everybody. There's very few who can do the work that is necessary. I don't think there's anybody actually in the church who can actually do the work that is needed out there. It all needs to be contracted out. It all needs to be paid for. And yet God himself is able to provide the money that is necessary. I don't really want to be personal, but if we looked, and it would be a guesstimate, but if we looked at the amount of money that comes into the people in this church, we would be amazed. We would be talking probably in excess of £1 million a year in income. And we're looking for £150,000, £180,000 to finish our extension. The money is there. God has blessed us. And we must look to ourselves and consider our ways and consider what we are saving our money for. And I look to myself because God has spoken to me. And I look back over the last 2 or 3 years and the difficulties I've had with health. I've been blessed, amazingly blessed. But the year before last, I was off work for 10 weeks. Last year, I didn't earn any money, not a penny, for 7 months. And yet God has chosen to bless me this year. And that is amazing. But what am I doing with the money? I'm intending, as most of you know, to, because I told enough people, to retire on the 20th of October this year, on my birthday. And any money that I've got in the bank, I think to myself, oh, I might need it. I might need it. I might need it. But whatever amount of money I'm able to give, out of the money I've got, God will bless abundantly. I don't need to worry about my retirement, and you don't have to worry about that rainy day, because God will bless each one of us. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word and this portion of scripture. If you get a chance, read the 2 chapters. It's amazing, and God will speak to it, to you out of it, I am sure. There's some wonderful words in it. But consider our ways. Consider our ways. Think what it is. What is our priority? And I look back over a number of years, even since I've come to Bethany, probably 8 years ago. I don't remember things like that. 9 years ago, maybe. Perhaps 9 years ago. And you look and you think, how many new vehicles have I had since then? How many holidays have I had since then? And yet, there's a need for our money. God doesn't need our money. God could provide that money like that. And yet, he's asking us to be obedient. And he's asking us to do his will. And if we do his will, in his time, he will provide the resources for it. Amen. We close with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we praise thee for every blessing we receive, for the things that come daily from thy hand, our God. None of us is undernourished or underclothed. None of us has nowhere to live, our God. Yet we know there are people in our country that are in this plight. And we pray for them, our God. But we thank thee for the many blessings that we have. And we pray that you will enable us to give to you that which is due. Somebody once said that we should give to God that which is right, not that which is left. How true that saying is, our God and Father. Sometimes we give to thee just that little bit that we've got left over when we've looked after ourselves. And that is the message of this prophet Haggai. As he could say to the people, consider your ways. And we pray that you will help us today, our God and Father, to consider our ways. We think of that verse in the 2nd chapter of Haggai where you could say to these people, our God, through Haggai again, that the silver and the gold is mine. Nothing we have, our God, belongs to us. We're just pilgrims and strangers in this world. And what we have is because of thy goodwill. And we praise thee for it, our God. We pray that thou will bless us tonight. Help us to consider the things that we have read. And bless our God and Father, thy word, to each heart. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.